Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot, fresh from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
What's good, baby? Hey. One more time for the new week. Yes, we welcome you in here to the Monday, February 23rd edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God Mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst.
Alongside EP,
what are you doing with him?
Second show of the day for the executive producer.
Ballin'.
Man, we are happy that you are here with us, as we've got plenty to talk about. Our 1320 Kings insider and host of the Locked On Kings podcast, James Hamm, will be with us at the bottom of the hour. The marathon will go 60 straight minutes of commercial-free sports talk. We'll go 60 minutes of commercial-free Sacramento Kings talk, and there are some things to talk about, as there are some new Kings on the way.
Okay, let's go. New Kings, baby.
Yeah.
Were you guys not tapped in for the Killian Hayes era?
Killian Hayes is such a... That's a wild one. Like, Killian Hayes was a seventh overall pick in the draft, what, 5-6 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Never really got going.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember talking about Killian Hayes. I remember that time frame for the Sacramento Kings, you know, just discussing different prospects, looking at different prospects. And I remember that name. And it just didn't really work out.
Mm.
I don't know. I don't think he's played an NBA game in almost a year. He's been in the G League, and that's not all, though. Patrick Baldwin Jr., shout out Drew Down and Uncle Loon, one of your guys.
Yeah.
At least that's where you might remember him from. 28th overall pick in the 2022 NBA draft. And I mean, I guess, like, you probably need bodies. I guess these are 10-day contracts. I think Patrick Baldwin was a 10-day contract.
Patrick was a two-way.
Oh, he's a two-way. Okay, Killian's a 10-day.
Yeah.
So, like, whatever. Your team now is at 16 straight losses.
Oh.
There is not a victory in sight. I remember, and I don't remember what number they were at. I'm sure it was the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember saying, I feel bad for the Detroit Pistons. Like, I remember that. It's like, you don't want athletes to go through that. Like, 28 straight losses is insane. Just absolutely insane. And I'm not quite there with the Kings yet, but I'm getting closer to where I'm going to start feeling bad for these guys.
Yeah.
Particularly the guy in the polo who stands up the whole game.
Yeah.
Particularly.
Well, we'll talk about later. Some say he shouldn't be in a polo anymore, and I agree.
No, it's not some. No, it's one guy. And
it's two guys.
He couldn't have sounded more like an arrogant ass when he said it.
It's two guys. Me and him.
Okay, great. Well, you'll say it in a less arrogant ass way than he did.
Try me.
Great. I can't wait. Cannot wait.
But to your point, though, man, yeah, man, like, get a win, and then
they're
lose
not
a
even
game.
Competitive. Like, yeah. The games aren't close.
Yeah, the stigma and the stink of 14, 15, mm-hmm. 16, potentially 17, and on losing streak. It's so much worse to
lose 27 of 28.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. It's so much worse to have that
or 28 of 29
without a win, as opposed to, hey, you've lost 18 in a row.
Yeah,
that's tough, man. Brutal. That is tough.
It's absolutely brutal, man. And that's where this basketball team is right now after their latest loss to the San Antonio Spurs. And that was a game like that. It was 11-0. It was 11-0 before I turned it on.
Yeah, shout out to you for turning it on at that time.
It was great. This is terrific. It's 11-0. And then the Kings, you know, kind of just try to, you know, fight their way back into it. And I think it was an 11-point lead in the fourth or the start of the fourth. Mm-hmm. And then, like, before you knew it, it was – and this is the Kings' season in a nutshell. It was an 11-point lead entering the fourth. It's not comfortable. It's not insurmountable. But it's whatever. Like, at worst, you could work with that. Every Kings fan knew this game is going to end in a 20-point loss. Mm. And I don't remember if it was 20 or not. But I know
no,
that
it wasn't.
I know that the deficit was 28. I know that. And it's like, it just everything blows up so quickly when they're playing. Mm-hmm. And it's tough to watch.
You know how I know it wasn't a 20-point loss? Is because they covered. It was 18.5. That's crazy in itself.
They lost by 17, didn't they?
Yeah.
139 to 122. Was that the score? 139 to 122.
That's crazy in itself. That the spread is 18.5. Oh, man. But, yeah, they covered.
So yeah, that's good. Hey, good for the Kings.
Oh, man.
Start using the cash out feature while you can. Man, down 28, cash out.
They're the new Tyrese.
Oh, man. Goodness gracious. That's the Tyrese. Truth. That is the truth.
Do you think, and I was thinking about this after another loss, do you think that maybe this could have tough effects? That's why I'm asking. Maybe you go with one of those veteran-heavy games, like a lot of Westbrook, a lot of Keegan, as opposed to playing the young guys. I know DeMar played a lot.
Like 30-something minutes the other night.
Yeah, DeMar played, but Russ.
There aren't a lot of veterans left either.
Oh, that's true, too.
Domas is on the operating table. Zach LaVine is on the operating table. I mean, DeAndre Hunter, to a certain degree, is a veteran. He's on the operating table. I mean, you are essentially left with DeMar, Russ, and I guess Keegan is the next vet. I mean, yeah.
The two I were thinking about from that game the other day was three people. It was Russ.
Mm-hmm.
He only played 21 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is sad in itself, but Precious, like I'm looking at Precious, like, hey, play him more. They got to win. He only played 21 minutes. And then
I really like Precious.
I do, too.
I know I say that all the time.
I do, too. And then, no shade, no disrespect or anything, but we got to get a win. I mean, they got to play 30 minutes. Like, can we give some of those to Russ just to get a win?
Yeah.
Like, tonight would probably be the night. Tonight, while I think Memphis is going to win the game, you might be able to get one if you went heavy on the DeMar, Russ, Precious, minutes, and Malik in there too. Malik played 28 minutes, I think, on Saturday. If you know, have him around there even more. Maybe he plays 31.
But I was going to say, what are we talking about though? Like 35 to 38 minutes?
Yeah. I mean,
you know what I mean? Because we're talking in Russ's case, that's a lot more than he played. In DeMar's case, that's a couple minutes.
Yeah, no, DeMar's
and I want DeMar Malik's case more. Is probably what, like, would you say about 27 minutes?
Yeah, 20.
So you probably if you want him that high, like you're talking 8 to 10 more minutes. Like that's a lot to the course of a basketball game. That's a lot. I don't know.
I don't know, something to just get these guys a win real quick, and then they can get back to the regular schedule program.
get back to to playing, you know, Daquan Plowden with all due respect, big minutes. Mm. We talked about kind of frequently over the course of the All-Star break going into this second part of the season, you know, who could impress, what could you take away? Brandon Benitez asked me that on Sports Sunday last night.
Great job.
Brandon was like, well, thank you. I had big shoes to fill. My partner was on his deathbed. Or apparently was just letting the shower water hit his head. You know,
sound like that dog.
What can guys do to, you know, or what do you want to see from these guys? The truth is, like, none of them can do anything in a positive way. But I did wonder, after seeing what Doug did to Devin Carter, if you could do something in a negative way. Because Devin was absolute ass against Orlando. Just absurdly bordering on comically bad. And he did not get off the bench until the Kings were down 28. When the Kings, and it was somewhere in the midst of the Kings being down 25-20. The game was very clearly and obviously over, and that's where Devin wound up getting his 4 or 5 minutes or whatever it was.
Total of six.
So, okay, six total minutes. And all of those, he was a DNP until that game, and I bet if we did the math, we could track 6 minutes left in the game is when they were down 28, and that's when Devin Carter got his first run. So the question of, you know, who can impress, who can solidify themselves, who could do that, it might be better served. Who could ruin their opportunity? Yeah. And Devin might be a guy who ruined his opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, the way he played the other day was a little tough. And I could see a scenario where Doug is looking at that like, hey, I'm giving you time to play, but I want you to play the right way. Don't just think you can play any type of way or do anything.
You're not Zach LaVine not playing the way I want to, but scoring 30.
Yeah, yeah.
Suggesting Zach wasn't, but you get the idea.
Yeah, and that could have had a negative effect minutes-wise, where Doug is like, I'm not doing that. We're not going to go about it that way. Also, in that game, though, too, to be fair, wasn't Russ out in the game? I'm talking
Orlando.
Who did they play? Yeah, Orlando. Did Russ play that game?
I think so.
Okay. I wasn't sure when Russ came back.
I think Russ has been back since the break.
Since the break. So they had the Orlando game. Okay. Well.
Yeah, because it's only been Orlando and
San Antonio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Nah, Devin, you just, just played your way out of things. Just played your way out of it, man.
Yeah.
Ugh. It's a tough look when the team is tanking and you're one of the young guys and you still can't plug in minutes. Like, you're done. It's like, that's what it is. You're done.
It's tough. Like,
unless it was like, hey, I'm going to bench you for this game. Don't do that again.
I know the bit is that I don't like him. That's not true. I just don't think he's a good basketball player. Like, I don't see it. Like, I see absolutely nothing in him as a professional basketball player. But I'm not wrong. Like, he was comical in that game against Orlando. It was like, it was like he saw this moment where it was like, nah, he thought I'm gonna make the most of my minutes, and he could not have been more wrong. And I just don't see what impact he makes on either side of the floor.
Well, I was gonna say, here's what I would say about that is, if it's about developing young players and giving them an opportunity, you got to give them an opportunity. They're going to have games like that. And I know it's probably, if you sit down with Doug or any of the coaching staff, if this is what happened, if it was like you played bad and you didn't do the things that we were asking you to do, so we're sitting you. If that's how it was, I'm sure they can speak specifically to certain moments where maybe it didn't have anything to do with shooting.
Yeah.
And they said, this is what we have a problem with, and we're sitting you. But you got—I believe you got to give them that leash if you're really trying to develop them. Like, they're not always going to do the right thing, or they're not always going to be locked in the way you want them to, because they're young players. Like, Nee Clifford, after the 30-point game, was probably 2 of 40 for the next two games.
It's 5 of 31. Right. Get it right, please.
Sorry about that. My bad. And he kept being able to play.
Yeah.
So I would say, in Devin's defense, if that's what was going on, but if you're really going to let these guys play through it, let them play through it. You had a bad game. You made bad decisions against Orlando. I did not like what I saw. Get out there on Saturday and try and work through it and make sure you don't make those decisions again.
Okay. I'll go with that.
Wow. Kenny Caraway says start Devin Carter today. Wow.
No, well, it could be worse. He could have said, hey, give Devin Carter an extension.
Lifetime.
The whole Buddy Hield moment. Give that man an extension. Everybody stop making Kenny laugh.
Listen,
Elizabeth. Can we get you like an inhaler at this point? Like, this is week three. Well,
technically, I'm on steroids now.
Oh, you are on steroids. I'd get them lifts in while I can. I'll get them lifts in. Get you going.
Man, I could maybe lift 5 pounds right now.
No.
Super weak. I got to build myself back up.
There you go.
I wonder if I lost any weight. I got to get step on the scale. I don't know. I doubt it. It ain't been like that. It's just been congestive type stuff.
Let me tell you this, too. You did a good job.
What?
You did a good job on Friday night.
Oh, you tapped in on your boy one time? What's up?
Of course I tapped in. Yeah. I told you I would. And I took one. You did a great job, period. My notebook is blank. Even at the very end,
yeah,
with that incredible ending that between crazy. Folsom and McClatchy, you could have gone a lot of directions there with that call. One. Chef's kiss. I'll buy you lunch for this.
Yeah.
You laid out.
I was shocked.
Okay. Well, use it as a teaching moment.
It was not on purpose.
Use it as a teaching moment because that was the move.
Yeah, let
your partner.
I remember you told me that before.
You let your partner do his job, and when he conveyed all of the particulars of the last second finish, the last second victory, and the kind of pandemonium of the moment, you didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You let him work, and you let that quick breath happen, and I think you said unbelievable or something like
that. Yeah.
I was like, that was perfect.
Yeah.
That was perfect. I was laughing. For the record, I was laughing that not only did McClatchy lose. Sorry to those young brothers. This is not about you. This is not
about
you.
Welcome to the big leagues, young brothers. This is what happened.
This is not about you. It was the fact that we had a show-long joke about you calling the McClatchy game and then it ending that way, a great game between those two great basketball teams. But that was awesome.
That was a fantastic game. And then at the end of the game, I'm coming down from the broadcast area, and I apologize if I get this wrong. I think my man's name was Chris.
Mm-hmm.
He was a parent of one of the star players on Folsom. And he goes, hey, I just want to say I love the show. I listen to you all the time. I know if I go back and listen, it's going to be a lot of McClatchy stuff on here, but I love it. I said, no. Like, I think in the moment, I was fair. I'm a professional. We got to laugh out of that or whatever. And he's like, nah, but I loved it. You from McClatchy? It should be a pro McClatchy broadcast. I said, don't worry about it, man. It was a great game, first of all. So there was nothing to be pro McClatchy or Folsom about. It was just two teams playing fantastic. And I thought that was pretty cool, man. So shout out to my dog who pulled up. And I'll be there tomorrow when Folsom takes on Sheldon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'll be at Sheldon. Yeah, that'll be a good game.
Folsom?
Well, maybe. I don't know. You know, I guess. That's what it's looking like. Maybe if they play on Saturday, I might be there too. I was getting, I got a text from some of my McClatchy people, and they're like, I don't know. This broadcast is too Folsom-centric.
on my group chat, they was calling you Joe Buck. They were like, he hates my team. Like, this is old Joe Buck Caraway out here just...
Oh, man. That was the high point of my weekend.
Yeah, it very much was. This dude called me yesterday at 4 o'clock. One, if one of us calls the other, it's probably something bad.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not the way we communicate. Mm. So the phone rings. Or actually, I'm out. I'm about to take the dog for a walk, so I have my earphones in. And the thing goes, call from Kenny Caraway.
He's like, oh no.
Oh no.
Guess and the show's over.
Bro, as soon as I was like, hey man, the 1140 made me an offer. I couldn't refuse. And so I'm going to the Eagle. I'm like, hey, yo, KC, what's good? He's like, yo, Dame. It's like, oh God. I was like, oh my God. Say, like, bro, whatever you're about to say, don't worry about it. It's good.
I think he literally said, like, he was like, oh no. Like, as soon as I said something.
As soon as you spoke, I was like, oh no. This is bad. Our boy was down bad yesterday. So I said to him, because we had TV responsibilities last night, and I was like, hey, don't worry about that. And like, I'll plan tomorrow. Like, I'm by myself. Like, don't sweat it. And Casey kept saying, well, nah, I'm going to take this medicine. And, you know, if I'm good, like, I'll let you know. It was like, all right, you know, don't worry about it. Yeah. I'll plan the show. Like, I'll be okay. And you text pretty early this morning. Like, I'm good to go. I was like, God damn. Man,
it was a
what
revelation.
Did they give you?
Or it was a revelation. And I talked to Dame. I had just come from the doctor's office. And then taking the medicine, it was all bad. I had an ear infection combined with a sinus infection. And it I've never had an ear infection before. And I guess it's not that common with adults. It's more with like children.
Okay.
But, oh my goodness.
Well, you had one of those too.
That's true. That is true. But, oh man, that was 10 of 10 pain on the right side of my face, skull. Everything that was crazy, and I was like, man, I'm gonna take this medicine, see what happens. Took the medicine and it didn't work. At about 8:30, I went to my wife. I said, I gotta go to ER. Like, I gotta go. They gotta do something. And there wasn't much they could do. Like, I don't even know what they could have done, but I was like, what I really wanted was somebody to look at my ear and tell me what it was, because I got prescribed over a phone appointment. And I just kind of went with what I thought it was. And it was all bad. So talking to the advice nurse one more time in the parking lot of the ER, and she's like, man, you know, it's really one of those things where the pain isn't going to go away for maybe about 24 hours or so. And I said, 24 hours? I'm dying. This is crazy. Yeah. And I said, I'm going to try and take this second dose. And took the second dose. That put the pain from a 10 to about a 6 or a 7, which allowed me to go to sleep. And I woke up this morning, and I ain't got no pain. So good. I'm blessed.
Okay.
I'm blessed.
Don't sound great.
No, don't sound great. Still a little, like, I could do a radio show.
You don't
I couldn't
sound
play a
like
basketball game.
You don't sound like you've lost 16 in a row, though. So you're better than that. So for proper context, when Casey
like 15 though.
When Casey called me when Casey called me yesterday, he sounded like 28 straight. That's what he sounded like. He sounded like, man, 28 straight, and Devin Carter playing 40 minutes.
What does poor Devin Carter sound like right now, man? Lost 16 straight.
Do that laugh real quick. Not like that.
Man, come on.
Oh man. Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, man. I think tonight is the night you have the best chance. I don't think they're going to win, but this is the best chance. And if you don't get it tonight, at 20s.
There's a Pelicans game not too far away, right?
I think it's after the Suns game.
It's here.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's after the Suns game. All right.
And I think that Pelicans game is at like, it'll be at like 21.
Oh, man.
Okay. I think they'll sneak up on a team like the Rockets or Suns and steal a win that way.
No, not the Rockets, because the Rockets already lost to them once.
I know, that's kind of weird to use that one up, but like maybe the Suns, they lost Dylan Brooks. I don't know, but I think they're going to sneak up on a team, if anything.
I would want them.
They might beat a team and like it'll end the opposing team's season, top of win.
Fights in the locker
room. Yeah, like this team is not winning a title. Just let's see what they do in the offseason.
The Lakers.
I came to that realization yesterday. Wow. Shout out.
Yeah,
that's going to be a fun conversation.
Oh yeah, I was perturbed too.
We were having a conversation last week, and it was kind of, I think it was about MVPs, and it was with Eddie. It was absolutely with Eddie, and like Luka's name came up, and I wanted to start something, but we were running out of time with Eddie.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is going to start a whole thing. Just wait. And then today, I saw some notes that you put in the show. I was like, today's the day.
Yeah. Today's I just heard some things. I'm like, my.
I don't need to hear anything. I just see it.
We just ignore any damn thing. That's okay, though. We'll talk about it. But what I do want for the Kings, mm-hmm. what I would like, is I would like for them to break the streak against the Suns. That's on NBC.
That's an 8 o'clock
And that will
start.
Be a nice little storyline. It's going to be at home, so people will be excited, mm-hmm. relieved.
Joke's on me. I'll be there.
Oh, snap. Yeah. 8 o'clock, Dave will be there.
Joke's on me. Yeah, I get my jokes off. I get my jokes off, and it's like, hey, Justine, when does the Galleria need me at the Rose? When does the Roseville Galleria need me at the Kings game? When they play Phoenix.
Oh, man. Hey, look, that one going into double overtime. Call it in now.
Usually those don't bode well for the Kings, though.
No, they won one.
Did they?
Yeah, they won the Lakers game. Weren't you there for the Lakers game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we're all good then. We're all good.
The first one was a little...
I was there for the first and second Laker game.
Well, the first one was the Hawks game.
I was there for the Hawks game, too, and that was...
That was the day the season was over. That was like,
I think that was a 33-point loss at home.
Yeah. That's when I believe, I'll speak for myself. Oh, yeah, this is going to be disastrous. These guys stink.
Yeah, that was bad.
Mm-mm-mm.
Someone says, D'Lo in the building? Yeah, we definitely ain't winning.
Well, he's got a 1-1 record.
Well, Stevie says D'Lo going to leave by 8:15. It might be right. Game might be over by 8:15. Who knows? Who knows? Westfield Gallery at Roseville is giving fans a chance to win instantly. Join us on site at the Golden One Center. When they take on Phoenix, you can scan the QR code at the Golden One Center on the big screen. Play the instant win game. Score prizes from top retailers. And every player who plays is entered to win a $250 gift card. We're awarding 25 winners to celebrate our 25th anniversary over at the Westfield Galleria at Roseville. Just got a text from James Hamm. He's running late because, well, he went for a walk.
I was about to say they didn't practice.
I guess he just needed to clear his head.
I understand. I get it.
James will be with us when his walk is over. Either way, the marathon is next. 60 minutes of commercial-free sports talk on the way here with D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
James Hamm's going to join us. He went for a walk. So when James returns from his walk, his daily exercise, he will join D'Lo and Casey here. He's probably trying to rewire his brain after having to do a Kings podcast, a Locked On Kings podcast every day for the last several weeks.
It's completely understandable. Watching this team.
Appearances with The Jump and D'Lo and Casey and then the Kings Beat podcast and his writing. And he's got 16 straight on the brain. And will it become 17 tonight? And what is the situation with Ja Morant? Is the NBA going to say something about this? Is the NBA going to say something about any of these guys who aren't playing? Because do we believe Trae Young is hurt?
I don't.
Or is Ja hurt?
I don't believe he's hurt.
They keep doing Trae Young updates too, where it's like, hey, he's probably going to be back this season. No time when, but maybe he'll be back. It's not even like a real update. Like I'm reading an article like last week, and it's like trying to find it. It's like, yeah, they expect him to be back, but just no timeable.
And then it's going to get to the final 3 weeks of the season, and it's like, oh, he's ramped up his conditioning, but I don't think he's going to be available to play, so he'll he'll have a full off season, which is what I imagine will be the update in about 3-4 weeks on Anthony Davis. There's no point in Anthony Davis putting on a Washington Wizards uniform this year.
No, and just to be fair to what we are, there's no point in Trae Young playing.
No, there's not, but you have to be aware of what you're saying to the league and what you're saying to your fans.
Is Memphis saying
if
anything?
He was a real one, you'd go get surgery.
Kind of what the
go get your eye operated on or something. Like what, Trae Young ain't a real one? Come on, Ja.
You ain't about that life.
Go on, Ja. Go under the knife, Ja.
Coach Hamstring's feeling kind of weird that you want surgery. That's what everyone's doing.
No, man, I wanted icy hot. Like, I wanted a cold tub.
Yeah, man. I don't feel like Ja's playing again this year for the Grizzlies.
Ja Moran is out tonight because he wanted to take a cold tub.
I would accept that. Okay, you don't have to get surgery. Take a cold
tub. Just take a cold tub. You really want to step it up, do the contrast therapy. Go hot, cold, hot, cold. Real gangsters end in the cold one. If you're a little softer, you end in the hot one.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that at all.
To be clear, I ended in the hot one. It's like, no, this is just much more comfortable than ending
in the cold. I'm not feeling that at all. I got in the sauna the other day.
You do that or surgery, pal. Those are your only two options. We got to tell Adam something.
I got in the sauna the other day for like, I think it was 50 minutes.
50-0?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You get used to it after a little while, but I don't know if I want to do that. It's recovery, right? Like, what would the benefit for me? Because I'm not trying to lose weight or nothing like that, to get in the sauna daily.
Is it an infrared sauna?
No.
Oh, feels nice. It's calming.
Is it recovery too, though?
Yeah, sure. Like, yeah, it's
not the same as like cold tub, though. Like,
no, cold tub is different.
Would help cold, you recover cold, a little bit more.
Cold therapy does a lot for like inflammation, and so you know if you can reduce inflammation as quickly as possible, then that helps the other things you do throughout the day to help your body recover, and then put you in a position to be able to work out sooner, like the next day or. If you're doing two-a-days or whatever the case may be, that's what it does.
Interesting. Yeah, well.
A lot of people are
not rich enough to have a cold tub.
Just for meditating. Where's the sauna at?
I'm not rich enough to have a cold tub.
Where is the sauna located?
The sauna's at the house. It is not. I'll tell you right now, it don't cost as much as the cold tub.
What do you mean the sauna's at the house?
I got a sauna at the crib. It's not, no, don't let him do that.
So like you just bought a sauna from like a 24-hour, like from a gym or what? Like,
no. The wife got it from, I think, Costco or Sam's Club.
Oh, I forgot he got memberships to both.
Well,
that's right.
I couldn't imagine being able to afford walking into Sam's Club and Costco the same day.
Yeah, Sam's Club, did you know they do curbside pickup?
I think so.
That's
Costco does delivery.
They do?
That's crazy. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to go to one of those places and get delivered.
Now you sound like Katie. Katie's trying to talk me into going to Costco once a quarter. Because we'll do orders of like, you know, different, you know, chicken, different things like that. And then like on a Sunday, I'll just put a bunch of stuff on the grill, wrap it up, put it in the freezer. Yeah, we good. Like we got a good amount of food prep if we just kind of operate that way. But her thing is like, no, why don't we go into a Costco just once a month? I said, no, like why? It'll deliver. What's the point? She was like, okay, once a quarter. Mm. And that was slick because that's about where we'd be at is because we need to do the run
the
this
wording.
Week.
It was slick. I think you should do it though. I mean, yeah, I need to go inside. I need to see what's going on. I don't need to see that.
Nah, Costco's a good time, man.
No, it's not.
If you go to the right time, yeah, it's a good time.
You could get the samples.
The last
exactly.
Time, I don't
little
need
chicken bake at the end. Maybe a smoothie if that's your bag.
The only thing they got right now is the glizzy soda combo. I'm so disappointed in Costco's pizza.
Don't they have soft chicken bakes ice fire. Cream there?
Yeah. See, you can get that at the end. Yeah. Crystal always gets me a chicken bake at the end, as long as I just
was that like
out.
A good boy treat?
A little bit, a little bit, yeah.
Now, Sam's Club.
Does she take you to Sam's Club immediately after your Costco trip?
We haven't reached that point in life yet.
Sam's Club, their food, now that's a, man, you talking about options. Sam's Club killing them with the food.
Really?
The prices are, I mean, just the amount of options. They've got a number of different pizzas. The pizza's good, too. I burned the roof of my mouth the last time I had some of their pizza, but I mean, they've got just a lot of different options.
You're so hungry, you just couldn't wait.
You know who pressures me is my wife. She's like, you're just going to sit there and let that. I was like, I don't like. She'll eat stuff right out of the damn fire and not even think twice. I'm like, yo, I need this stuff to cool down. She's like, well, we got to hurry up and we got to go. So she rushed me.
It's like she doesn't know who she's married. I've seen you nurse a burrito bowl for 4 hours.
Yeah, I don't need nothing super hot.
Welcome in our 1320 Kings insider, James Hamm, and host of the Locked on Kings podcast. James, your walk caused us to start talking about shopping in bulk.
Yeah, I was watching the Man U game, and then Sarah goes, hey, let's go for a walk. I'm like, okay. We did 3.5 miles instead of 3. I look at my watch, and I'm like, a good 10 minutes from home and I've got 4 minutes and I'm like, oh no. So luckily the teenager was at the Starbucks. I'm like, are you out and about? He's like, yes. I'm like, well, come pick me up. So he was able to pick me up so I could at least catch my breath while cruising home the last maybe 0.2 mile.
You should have just ran, James. That would have been made for more content, better content. You trying to catch your breath, sweating profusely here on the live stream.
Oh, I'm sweating.
It would have been even better if you were running and then the your son filmed it. And so it's James trying out for the Sacramento Kings. They're giving 10 days out, Hammer.
That's right.
You can do it.
They're giving 10 days out like surgeries.
But
I should have just logged on to StreamYard and started running while I'm talking to you guys and like, hey, sorry, I'm out on a walk.
We have to find a way to make this Kings content more interesting. That would have been more interesting.
Yeah. On a walk with James. Yeah.
Let's start. Oh, James. We got to go back to Friday.
Oh, yeah.
You were on with the jump and you said something that made me laugh out loud. I don't think you meant to, but I laughed. And I've been dying to ask you about this since then. You said on Friday that, and you'll know what I'm talking about. I don't want to mix this up too much. That you can see the young guys trying to play a certain style of basketball. Mm-hmm. Like, Doug, and I am so curious as to what that is and what you're seeing. And maybe the Orlando game is too fresh in my brain, but I do not see those guys doing anything at all out there.
Okay, so when it's just the young guys, you do actually see them start to run pick and roll action. You start to see some of the, the Max Reno from the top of the key. He started dealing. He started hitting the bounce pass to Malik Monk as a back cutter. Like, we started to see more of the play sets, and that's where I'm talking about. Like, as far as the shell defense where they decided to give up three-pointers to a bad team and that bad team roasted them for 27 threes, I think that was a coaching decision that was ended up proving to be wrong. Like, and I get the concept there, Doug, even in pregame, he compared Paolo Banchero to Zion Williamson and Jokic, guys that you have to wall off and basically set a line midway through the key and say, you're not going to go score on us every single time. Right. So the idea was to allow them to shoot threes and the team got hot. I mean, coming into that game, that's not a great 3-point shooting team. I think they're shooting like 34.7% from three on the season. And they shoot well over 50% and just torch you. So that's where I mean by like as far as the defensive sets, that was a hot mess and that was a coaching decision. But in the regular offense, I see more of a real pick and roll game with Max Reynaud than I do with any other player. You know, whether it's Malik Monk working with him or Neat Clifford, you know, getting to the key and firing the ball to the corner. I see that. I see the idea of what they're trying to do more with the young guys than I do with the veterans. Now, not all of the young guys, because I honestly, like, Devin Carter's out there doing whatever he wants to do for himself. And, you know, I don't know what else to say about it. If I'm the Kings, I definitely bring in Killian Hayes. Like, why not? Like, I'm going to have him compete for minutes with Devin Carter. And, like, in Devin's, you know, Devin's not a point guard, and he's being asked to play a point guard position. And he's not a – that's not who he is as a player. It's not just that he doesn't have point guard skills. It's that he's a selfish basketball player. And that's okay, because most NBA players are selfish. They are. But when you're a young guy and you're trying to make it in the league, you should try to at least – act like you're trying to play a team game. And that's not what I've seen from Devin. Now, again, I bring up Killian Hayes. Killian Hayes, what, he's like a year older than Devin Carter? And on top of that, he has a ton of experience, even if it's not good experience, between the G League and between playing in at the NBA level. He's played the NBA point guard position. He knows a little bit about what he's doing, where I don't think Devin does. And so the problem that you have is when you have a guy who doesn't know how to play point guard playing point guard, it impacts everybody else on the court. And that's, I think, a lot of what we're seeing over the last couple of the last stretch of games where they're getting bombarded. It's because Russ is not playing well at all. And when they're going to the bench, you're getting some quality scoring minutes from Malik Monk, but no one is actually setting up teammates and trying to make the game easier for people. And that's a problem.
These guys, are young in NBA terms, and they've got things they got to work on and get better at, for sure. But, like, I don't look at it as necessarily Westbrook's fault or Devin Carter's fault or Malik Monk's fault, that these guys just get dog walked night in and night out. They can't defend. They can't hit no shots. Like, pick and roll is cool, and Maxine's doing cool or whatever, but it has no impact on wins and losses. At some point, we could be playing the right way and doing things the right way, but we got to turn that into wins. And I'm not saying you or anybody else is saying that is going to happen this year or anything like that, but yeah, we can play the right way is cool, but I need some results at some point. At some point, like, you can't be getting, like, at least start giving me competitive games. Like, you're non-competitive in a bunch of these games. Mm-hmm. And that has to change, regardless of how they're playing or how much ball movement or pick and rolls that we see. I need some competitiveness.
Well, even in the last game, what did they have? They had something like 33 assists. So, like, the ball was moving. It was moving better than it has most of the season. But it didn't equate to a victory. And I get it, you know, like that. The weird thing is it, some of the game is competitive. Mm-hmm. Like, we saw a half of competitive basketball, maybe even three quarters or two and a half quarters of competitive basketball. And then when they go to the bench or when they try to make adjustments, things just go bad so quick with this team. And it's really tough, because what I saw earlier in the game, especially, you know, the last game out, when I thought they were competitive for a good portion of the game, when things got rough, you know, it was 11-0 to start the game. They come back. Keegan started rolling. Then you got DeMar DeRozan. And the thing that I think you have to do if you're this team, when the other team is going on a run, get the ball to DeMar every time. If it's a 6-0 run, stop the run there. DeMar DeRozan will either get you a bucket, or he'll get to the free throw line. And that's what we saw. Like, they stabilized the team in the first half by DeMar going to the free throw line 10 times. And then in the second half, that didn't happen. They didn't bite on his pump fake. He wasn't able to get the ball to drop. And so it became like, okay, your one ace in the hole to stop a run isn't working out tonight. And so you're in trouble. And it, this is what they did in the 2017-18 season with Zebo, with Zach Randolph. They would feed Zach every time that there was a run, and it just kept them competitive in a game. It stopped the game from getting completely out of control. That's what we've seen over the last couple of games. Like, they're doing fine, they're doing fine, and then they face plant. And whether it's bringing in the wrong mix of players or one specific player or a grouping of two players, it doesn't matter. Whatever happens, this team just like falls apart super quick, and there's no way for them to catch up. And Kenny, I get what you're saying about wins. I need them to look like they know at least how to finish a game. Like, and finish a game, I mean, like, even if you lose by 6 points, you lose by 8 points, that's fine. Show me that you know how to play for 48 minutes, because it can't be that you lose by 17 and the only reason you didn't lose by 25 or 30 is because Doug McDermott came in and scored 8 points in the final 2 minutes. Hmm. Like, that's not what we're talking about here. It has to look more competitive. And I asked Doug about it after the Orlando game. Like, what I saw in the fourth quarter of that game was unacceptable. Like, I can't watch a bunch of kids go out there and do cardio and score 10 points in a quarter and have one guy out there looking like he's going to shoot every ball. He doesn't give a rat's whatever about anyone else. He is going to get his shots. It's like, okay, man, you try to get your shots and the team score 10 points. So one player can impact the entirety of the group by just being so individual that it stands out. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's a problem. And that's, to be honest, it's why I believe Devin Carter was out of the rotation in the next game. Mm-hmm. He played the last 5 minutes of the game. Okay. It's probably why they went out and got a point guard. Like, hey, we need somebody that can at least control the court for a short amount of time when we go away from Russ or we go away from Malik.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about those two guys here for a second. The weekend was filled with a couple of signings for the Sacramento Kings, one being Killian Hayes. He signed a 10-day contract with the team, a former number 7 overall pick in the 2020 draft, 6'5 point guard, hasn't played in the NBA, I believe, since last March. And then Patrick Baldwin Jr., who many in the chat are very familiar with, the former Golden State Warrior, 28th overall pick, played a bunch for the Wizards, too. I don't know the last NBA game that he played. What do you think of those two signings, and what do you think the motivation behind those two signings were?
Yeah, okay, so I think that just to start with Killian Hayes, I loved Killian Hayes in that draft. You know, he's a number 7 pick, and, you know, again, that's prime pandemic. So I wrote 23 mock drafts for NBC Sports during that stretch. I absolutely watched so much Killian Hayes footage. It was crazy. He's got outstanding court vision. He's a big guard at 6'4", 6'5". He's got a 6'8 wingspan. Coming into the league, everyone knew that he had a problem with the three-point shot, and it hasn't developed all that well. But his court vision and his size and the fact that he's a left-handed point guard, it really did like make you think that there was a possibility of him being a real prospect. Again, there's no reason why he should have gone above Tyrese Halliburton, which he did, like five spots higher in the draft. But I think when you're looking at certain young players, and I'm going to lump both of these guys into the same exact thing, they remind me of, you know, situations that the Kings have been in multiple times where they bring in so many young players that they get lost in the shuffle. And, you know, we can look at the 2017 NBA draft or the Kings draft, De'Aaron Fox, number 5. But then they had two other first rounders, an early second, and they brought Bogdan over in that same year. Plus, they had 4 rookies from the year before. Mm-hmm. So someone was going to get lost, and Justin Jackson got lost, and Harry Giles got lost, and Frank Mason got lost. And, you know, Bogdan Bogdanovic was a pro. He came in, he was just fine. But go back to the year before, and that draft was Papa Giannis. It was Malachi Richardson at 22 and Scalabissiere at 28. And then they traded for Buddy Hield in the DeMarcus Cousins trade. All of those players got lost outside of Fox and Bogdanovic. All of them. And that's the NBA in a nutshell. So many players get lost as draft picks. And Killian Hayes drafted number 7 overall. What happens the next year? The Detroit Pistons get the number 1 overall pick in the draft and have no choice but to draft Cade Cunningham because it's the right play for their franchise. So that knocks Killian Hayes out of a lead guard position and hands it to Cade Cunningham. The next year, they're number 5 pick in the draft. What do? They draft Jaden Ivey. Killian Hayes is done. He's done as a prospect in Detroit. And once you lose that first round, you know, thing that's a tag that's on Devin Carter right now, it's on, you know, every first round pick is like, oh, you're a first rounder. Once you lose that and you go to a second team, nobody cares what you are anymore. Like, realistically, nobody cares that Killian Hayes is a number 7 pick in the draft. You're not getting the 7th pick in the draft. You're getting a prospect that has failed multiple times at this point and hasn't been able to get his footing back in the league. So I look at Patrick Baldwin the same exact way. Patrick Baldwin went to a situation in Golden State where they were already failing with one prospect after another. They're at the end of their height, but it's the 2 timeline situation. They weren't going to develop him. They were going to focus on Kuminga and on possibly Wiseman and possibly Moses Moody. Look at how many times they failed in that situation as well. So I don't know that it's Patrick Baldwin's fault that he's not an NBA player. He's had enough time that you'd hope that he'd be able to get into the league again, or Killian Hayes, the same thing. But I do think that there's one positive about being a first round pick, and that is that you typically get at least 3 years of your money paid for. And so you have money coming in, and if you're smart with your money, you have enough money to stay in the States and play in the G League and keep developing and keep being in front of eyes that might get you back into the league, as opposed to either one of these players going overseas and playing for the last couple of years and just being completely forgotten about. So I do think that there is possibility here, and I would give Killian Hayes a shot. Patrick Baldwin's, he's grown to 7 foot tall. Like, why not give him a shot? He's a, you know, super slow-mo guy and couldn't jump over a phone book at the combines, put up like a 23.5-inch standing vert and a 26.5-inch max vert. But he's a grown man now, you know, even at 23, he's a grown man. He's a couple of years away from when he was drafted, and maybe you find something, maybe you don't, but it doesn't hurt to try.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, James. I got zero expectations for either one of these guys. Not thinking that they're going to stick around or show anything or anything like that. But I do have my eye on Killian Hayes, man. Everything that you just laid out, you laid it out perfectly as to why you would at the very least give him a look, especially in the Kings situation where the season's going nowhere. You're running out of players. Like, you actually need some competent NBA players on the roster. And why not take a look at Killian Hayes? If I'm in a dream world or a dream scenario, maybe Killian shows something. Maybe he comes to the Kings, and for the final 25-plus games, however many games they have less, you know, he's averaging 13 points a night with 6 assists. And because he's a skilled guy. He has skills. Being able to put it all together has been an issue. And having a clean slate here in Sacramento and having opportunity here in Sacramento, yeah, why not see what it looks like with a guy like Killian Hayes? Baldwin Jr. as well, like, I'm a little less inclined to believe that there's something there with him, but like James said, why not? Why not see what these guys got?
Yeah, and Patrick Baldwin, people forget, was like the top-rated prospect heading into that draft. You know, I talked about it on Locked On last night, but Patrick Baldwin is basically Scalabiciere. He went in as like the number 1 or number 2 prospect as a freshman, and then got buried in his year in college. And next thing you know, they fall to number 28 because they're still, you know, that they were really good the year or two before and everyone knew who they were. And then all of a sudden they've got to rebuild their value as players. I think like sticking around the G League, maybe it does help. I mean, certainly, you know, getting a player who's averaging 22 points and 8.5 assists, like, why not try it? Even with Baldwin, I think one of the problems that Baldwin's had at the G League level is he's not quick enough to create a bunch of like things for himself, But at the G League level, if you're that big and you're going to be asked to do that, I kind of want to see what he looks like as an NBA, like stretch four, stretch five, stand in the corner, you know? And if every once in a while you break past a guy and you get to the rim or whatever, that's fine. But for right now, let's see if you're a better catch and shoot 3-point shooter than somebody who's creating for himself. And again, I think, you know, trying to play Neat Clifford at the point guard is a bit of a square peg in a round hole. And I think eventually he can get there. But for right now, I would much rather have a guy like Killian Hayes come in, manage the backup point guard spot, and feed Neat Clifford. Allow Neat Clifford to become a more comfortable player at the NBA level. If he becomes a secondary playmaker off of that, that's fine. But to ask him to bring the ball up, to manage the clock, to manage the players, to manage where everyone's at on the floor, he's not there yet. And it doesn't matter, you know, you give him an all-star break a week away to kind of learn a little bit more. To me, it doesn't matter. He needs an offseason. He needs to run, you know, the summer league squad. He needs to run the California Classic squad, whatever it is, and show more of those point guard skills. But I also think that, like, deep down, he's probably a shooting guard with creation skills and a secondary ball handler than he is a point guard. So why don't you get him a point guard that can at least handle those duties, bringing the ball up, getting people in the right spot, managing the clock, and take all of that mental side off of Neat Clifford's plate. And maybe all of a sudden he's a better catch and shoot 3-point shooter. Maybe he does better with some of the finer nuances of things when all the focus isn't on him.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.